Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount South, the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is January 25, 2017, or it is, 2018, or it is Sheep Act 9, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Until Then. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail this wanting always a prayer this troubled world It's not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day, my eyes behold the setting. Until the day your calls me home, the things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall their borrowed for a while, and things of earth that cause a heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day your calls me home. This weary world with all its toils and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon, and its release is destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go singing. Until then, joy I'll carry on until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day your calls me home.
Man on the White Horse, Part 5, page 35. We're going to continue our study, our theme here about the end time events, about how this true man on the white horse is going to add up. While we're talking about the man on the white horse, let's just go read about him in Revelation chapter 19. Let's just start off our sermon with that Revelation 19. This is where we're at the stream of time. It says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Yeshua our Savior. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. This is what is in the process of going on right now with the nations. Yeshua has returned. He returned in 2002, took the reins in his own hands, made a change of the guard, and took his strong right arm, the house of David, and he commissioned them to be the leadership of his army, the great battle axe and weapons of war. He says, there in the prophecy of Jeremiah 51, he says, "You are my weapons of war," and he's not going to change a thing when it comes time for this. His army, his great army, it will automatically be there to go forward. So in Jeremiah 51, it says, verse 19, "The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. For the Yahshua of the host is his name." Okay, so Israel is the rod of his inheritance. Whose inheritance? Yahshua's inheritance, the Son. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. And so you go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 16, and give us a little bit more emphasis on that. Jeremiah 10:16, it says, "The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. Yes, for the Yahshua of the host is his name." All right, in Deuteronomy 32:9, it gives us a little bit more information on that. Let's go look at it. Deuteronomy 32:9, it says, "For the Yahshua's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." And then it says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 10, "He found him in a desert, a land, and in the waste, hollowing wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye." Well, where did Jacob show up today? He showed up in the waste, hollowing wilderness again, out there in Kermit, Texas. If you ever want to find a wilderness here in Texas, just go to Kermit, Texas, where we spent a total of 33 and a half years as our main headquarters from Kermit, Texas. And all you have to do is go out there and see all the string of sand dunes that looks like the Sinai Desert, just 10 miles outside of Kermit, running for many, many miles, clear up into New Mexico, and know that all you have is just scrub oaks and jackrabbits and rattlesnakes and hawks and ravens and owls and coyotes. And then you have a few antelopes and deer that show up out there, and that graces that desert. But you know, he says that he's going to cause the rivers of water to spring forth here in the desert. And when you go and read Isaiah 41:17-18, and already seen where that's been taking place in Israel, starting in 2014, as soon as I know about, it says in Isaiah 41, there's a river over there in Israel called the River of Zin, Z-I-N. And in 2014, the people of Israel, knowing the timeline of Bible prophecy, took their cameras and went out to this here riverbed, this creek bed. About 24 miles long, goes into the Dead Sea. And it had been dry for 2,000 years. And they go out there with their camera and they said, "It's time for this river to start flowing." And sure enough, it started flowing. And then so they claimed the Isaiah 41:17-18. It says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, Yahshua will hear them. King of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. All right, so this river, Zin, it started at the summit of the Negev Desert. Negev means dry, in Hebrew means dry. Arid desert is what it means. And the Negev has a mountain there at the edge of the desert. And up on that summit, that's where the rainwater started raining and getting up there on the mountains. And that's what it says right here in Isaiah 41. He says, I will open rivers in high places. Well, isn't that amazing? And then it says, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And so when that river was unlocked there in that high place of the Negev summit, called mountains, the Negev mountain, and the Negev desert, and then that water started flowing down that mountain, down that river, and it flowed for 24 miles into the Dead Sea. And it watered everything all along the way of that arid desert. That just happened in 2014. And he's got rivers all over the land of Israel. That's just waiting to do the same thing when the people need it. So it says that in Isaiah 43:19, it says that, Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And it says, verse 20 of Isaiah 43, The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. So those people that was understanding prophecy, and they went out to this this desert, they took their camera with them, and lo and behold, here's the water come running down the mountain, coming to meet them, and they're rejoicing because they understood prophecy, and they no doubt are praying people. And Yahweh heard and answered their prayers. Because that place where that river flowed was nothing but parched, dry ground. Just parched, dry ground. But yet, he says there in Isaiah 41, after he opens up those rivers in high places, he says, in verse 41:19, he said, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittim tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will sit in the desert the fir tree, and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Yahweh hath done this, and the Holy One, His Son of Israel, has created it. So he says now, he says, when this happens, he says, know for surety this is the first time that this has been done here in the desert of Israel. It's the first time. So he says, produce your cause in verse 21, Isaiah 41. Produce your cause, saith Yeshua. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooses you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as a potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time, that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. Who is this talking about here? He's talking about the prophets, the leaders in Israel, here in these last days. He's talking about the ones that he put in charge of his candlestick, of the spiritual Israel of today, and that's the Adventist Church. He's talking about starting all the way there in 1930, starting with V.T. Hollis, when he gave him the Latter Rain of Truth to publish. And he did it. He did a very good job. He only had 25 years to produce, and his time was up, and that was all of it for him. And he says, when they don't understand where they're at in a stream of time, and they start prophesying things that will not come to pass because it is not according to the true interpretation of prophecy, they're out of timeline, and completely have a misconception of how prophecies are supposed to be fulfilled, and so therefore he brings them to their end, and that's what happened. He said to the V.T. Hollis, when he laid him away in 1955, he says, your work from here on in, it will be all vanity. It's all vanity, because you're through. And he said to Ben Roden, 1970, Ben Roden thought he was just beginning as King David in 1970, at the very time that his time was up. And it's all vanity. From then on, it was all vanity. And then in 2003, when Brother Johnson thought he was just coming into the 12th parabolic hour to start bringing forth 144,000, right when he thought he was just ripe for that, he was at his end. It all became vanity because he didn't know what was going on. So that's reading it says here in Isaiah 41:29. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten image are wind and confusion. The only thing that Brother Johnson left behind was the creation calendar that we inherited, and we have to have that. That's the only thing that he was really called to do, is teach Yahweh's government and produce a timepiece that would put us back on true time and have true worship. And that's what he did in the beginning of his ministry. But then outside that, he had no more to do but just to practice the sanctuary system and bring the church to purification. And see, that would have been a workload to have accomplished for him. But anyway, it all ended up with all of those leaders being vanity, 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 vanity. All of them. So, in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 8, it talks about some of that. Isaiah 2, verse 8, it says, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. That's exactly what Ben Roden created. He created his own idols, and they worshiped their own idols because it was the works of their own hand. They use the Bible prophecy and they use the wonderful inspired scriptures to lay a foundation for what they were teaching. And then they went off into idolatry, trying to put the, because they didn't seek it by inspiration. So it says there, Isaiah 2:9, and the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself, therefore forgive them not. So it says in verse 10, Isaiah 2, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Yahshua and for the glory of his majesty. Let's do that again. For the fear of the Yahweh, the Father, and for the glory of his majesty, which is his son, Yahshua. Okay. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the hardiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Yahshua, the Son, alone shall be exalted in that day. This is where we're at today, folks. We're at the place of exalting Yahshua only. So now let's go back to Revelation chapter 19. Let's try to get back on track. Let's start with verse 1 again. After these things I heard a great voice of much people in the heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Yeshua, or the Yahweh or Elohim, the Father. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he is the great judge that sits upon the throne on the Day of Atonement there in the most holy place. For he hath judged the great whore, Babylon, which did corrupt the earth and with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. So Babylon is squirming like a pig under a gate right now, squealing like a pig under a gate. Said, wow, what has hit me? I can't stem the tide of what's going on in the world. I'm losing everything. So it says in Revelation 16:7, if we back up a little bit, it says, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Yahweh Elohim Almighty, this is talking about the Father, true and righteous are thy judgments. And then in Revelation 15:3, it backs up here and he says, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Yahweh Elohim Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Now, let's go back to Revelation 19. This is verse 3, and again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Talking about Babylon. Babylon's smoke rose up forever and ever. And in Isaiah 34:10, Isaiah has a prophecy on that. Okay, let's go read it right quick. It says, it shall not be quenched night nor day, for the smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. Now, folks, this prophecy is beginning to meet its fulfillment right now. And as Babylon declines more every day, until she comes to completely to her end, it says in verse 11 of Isaiah 34, that the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, the owl also and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom. Now what happened back in the time when Belshazzar made a feast for his lord, 1,000 of his lords? They barricaded themselves into the palace because they knew that Cyrus and Darius, the kings of Media and Persia, was on their way. They knew that they were on their way to attack Babylon and attack Belshazzar. They knew that. That's when they barricaded themselves in the palace. They locked the two leaved gates, and they had that went across the canal, And the water came up to the bottom of the lakes, and so there's no way that you could come through the gates because they were locked. There's no way you could come under the gates because it was full of water. The canal was full of water. And so Belshazzar defied the living Yahweh and his prophecy. And he says, well, I'll take the vessels out of the temple and I'll bring them in here. And we'll drink out of them, and we'll have a big old banquet tonight of my thousand, my lords, and all the concubines and women, and all the reveling that we can possibly do, and we'll mark the temple of Yahweh, and we'll use those golden vessels from the temple to drink out of and to salute Satan with. And said, lo and behold. So Belshazzar called his nobles to the kingdom of Babylon. But none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. So what happened that night? Cyrus, antitypical Donald Trump, came through those gates. Because a little earlier they diverted the river. And they dried up the canal that went underneath those two leaf gates. And all they did is just marched right underneath those gates right into the palace. And lo and behold, Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, he didn't make it through the night, and a thousand of his lords, they didn't make it through the night. They were all killed there in the palace. And who did it? Cyrus and Darius and their army of the Medes and the Persians. And it says in Isaiah 34:13, and thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles and the fortresses thereof. And it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island. And the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. Oh my goodness. Look what the screech owl, look what the fowls, these here predators of the desert, look what they found. Well, they come to Babylon's headquarters and they found it all empty. They said, oh my goodness, we got a place here that we can make a home here. We can make a home right here in all these luxury buildings and stuff. Okay. And Isaiah 34:15, there shall be the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and nather and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek ye out of the book of the Yahweh and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. Okay. So his mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. Just like he gathered all those animals that went into Noah's ark. The spirit gathered them. And he hath cast a lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Okay, so in Isaiah 17:13-14, back up a little bit here. Let's see what we got here. It says, the nation shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but Yahweh shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains. Before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at eventide, trouble, and before the morning, he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. That's what happened to Belshazzar. It says right here, at eventide, he has trouble. When the sun went down in Babylon that night, Belshazzar got a handwriting on the wall, and his loins loosed, and his knees knocked together, And they finally got Daniel in there to interpret the handwriting on the wall. And it says, before the morning he is not. And therefore, Belshazzar didn't make it through the night. This is the portion of them that spoil us. Okay. So we have in this country here, we've had presidents after presidents for the last 30-some years. One followed the other on an evil course. And what happened? They says this is the portion of them that spoil us. So we've been spoiled by presidents for the last 35, 40 years. Has just ruined this country. But it says right here, this is the portion of them that spoil us and the lot of them that rob us. This is their lot. Because it says at night, things happen to them at even time of trouble. They have trouble at even time. And before the morning comes, they don't even exist anymore. They're all dead. Okay, so you want to play with Yahweh. You want to play games with Yahweh. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 19. And it says in verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped Yahweh that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, and so what day is this on? This is on the Day of Atonement, when the Heavenly Father, as the High Judge, Supreme Judge, sits upon that judgment throne in the most holy place. So this is the judgment of the living. So this is what started in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. This was the headwaters for this scene right here, where the Almighty sit upon the throne of there and the tabernacle. Okay, and I'm gonna say in the tabernacle of David. So the Father and the Son comes down on the Day of Atonement. And the Father sits upon the throne of the most holy place in the tabernacle of David. It says so there in Luke 1, 31, 32, 33. It says so. So Yahshua sits upon the throne of his earthly father David. Sits upon David's throne. And it says his Father in heaven give that throne unto him. But that throne is no good to Yahshua by itself. If the Father doesn't come down on the Day of Atonement for the Father and the Son to work together, that throne is no good. So you have to have the participation of the Father and the Son, okay, to make that throne a judgment throne. You can't make it a judgment throne with just Yahshua sitting upon that throne. Okay. This says in Revelation 19:5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our Yahweh, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for Yahweh Elohim omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Alright. How can you have the marriage of the Lamb without the Father there? The Father is the one that performs the ceremony. Yahweh Elohim, he's the one that performs the ceremony for his Son and the purified house of David, the Judah, the lawgiver. And his wife hath made herself ready. So, we represent that wife, and we're getting ourselves ready. We're making ourselves ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of Yahweh. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant. Who is this that's thy fellow servant? This is that angel, Gabriel, that was sent to testify unto John the Revelator about these things. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of the Yeshua. In other words, I am representing Yeshua's message and his mission at this time. I'm representing him. This angel said, I'm representing, and I have his testimony. It says, the command is, worship the Father, Yahweh, for the testimony of the Yeshua is what makes up the spirit of the prophecy. His testimony is what makes up the spirit of prophecy. And Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of the Yahweh. Isn't this amazing? The Word of Yahweh. Where else is that mentioned in the scriptures about Yahweh, Yeshua, the Son, name being the Word of Yahweh? Go to John chapter 1. That's very easy to do. Let's just go look at it. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, then that's Yeshua, the Son, and the Word was with the Father, Yahweh. And the Word was of the Yahweh. I'm adding prepositional phrases that are missing there so we can have a complete harmony here in what we're talking about. John chapter 1 verse 2, the same was in the beginning, for the same was in the beginning with the Father. So Yahshua was in the beginning of the creation of this world with the Father. And it says, all things were made by him. Now what is it talking about here? All things were made by him. Who is this him? This him, we used to call it the Son, Yahshua. And I suppose that would be an accurate description if we go ahead and harmonize it with 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. Let's go look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. Let's see what we got here. It says that, but unto us there is but one Yahweh, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Yahshua Messiah, by whom are all things, and we by him. Okay. So, there it is right there. Philippians 2:11 gives us a little bit more insight on that. Let's go look at that right quick. Philippians 2:11. And that every tongue should confess that Yahshua Messiah is the Son, unto the glory of Yahweh the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, we go back to, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, and let's see what we got there. It says, for the Father, Yahweh, who at the sundry time, and in divers manners, spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So this is the Father doing all the speaking, both in the Old and the New Testament. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So, he not only made this world by Yahshua, but he made all the worlds by his son, Yahshua. Because it says there in Revelation 3:12 that Yahshua, the true witness, is the beginning of the creation of his Father. So he's the first beginning of the creation of the Father. In John chapter 1, it says, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from Yahweh, whose name is John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Okay. So Yahshua was in the world, and the world was made by him. So, shows right there where the Father used the Son to make this world. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the Father. And the Word was made flesh, this is Yahshua, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay. John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So here's John the Baptist giving a testimony here that Yahshua was from the beginning. He was before John. So, how are we to read the Old Testament scriptures? Yahshua is the inheritor of all things. Yahweh spoke by him in the Old Testament, and he speaks by him in the New Testament. Okay, now we'll go back to Revelation 19. And let's pick up where we left off. It says verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our Elohim, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Yahweh Elohim omnipotent reigneth. Revelation 11:15-17 talks about that. Revelation 11:15-17. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Savior, Yahshua. And Noah has become the kingdoms of our Yahweh, our Father, and of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. Okay. And Revelation 10:7 gives a little bit more insight, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of the Yahweh should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Revelation 11:15. Alright. So now what happened? This mystery of the seventh angel began to sound at Kermit, Texas, 2002. And that's what floored them all. That's what devastated all of them at Kermit, Texas. When that seventh angel, the seventh trumpet, sounded a trumpet of warning, he was sounding an alarm. He's saying, hear this new message that's coming from heaven. And hear it today. and hearken unto it. And so, therefore, whenever that message was given to Brother Johnson 2002, he didn't heed it. He didn't hearken unto it. He became alarmed. He thought it was some kind of false alarm. He just couldn't understand the meaning of it all. All right? And then it says in Revelation 10:8, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go, and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." This talks about the disappointment in 1844, when the Millerite movement suffered a great disappointment, because the prophecy didn't fulfill the 2300-day prophecy, did not fulfill according to the William Miller's teachings and expectations. Didn't happen that way at all, and so at the time they were preaching for 10 years, it was sweet in their mouth. But as soon as the time was up, it became bitter in their belly, and they rejected the true interpretation of the 2300-day prophecy. And Yahweh had to pass it on then to Ellen G. White to clear the matter up. So it says in Revelation 10:11, "And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." So, William Miller didn't prophesy again, but somebody picked up his prophecy, Ellen G. White, and she was the Adventist church and was given the commission to prophesy the same message that William Miller prophesied for 10 years, from 1833 to 1844. They were then given the commission to prophesy again the same message before many nations and tongues and kings, but not all. Okay? So, as we go to Revelation 19, once again, verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready." We've already read that, but this is wonderful because the wife is in the process right now of making herself ready. And she has to get herself ready. "And unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is made up of the righteousness of the saints." I know it says here the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, but the fine linen represents righteousness by faith in the blood of the Yeshua. Because the blood is what cleanses all your sin. And if you don't have faith in that, then you don't have righteousness by faith. And you don't have the righteousness of the saints. You don't have any kind of righteousness. And it says in Revelation 19:9, "And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of the Father, Yahweh. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, that have the testimony of the Yeshua. Worship the Father, Yahweh, for the testimony of the Yeshua is found, recorded in the spirit of the prophecy, of the prophets, and of the Psalm, and of the law of Moses concerning Yeshua." Okay, Revelation 19:11, "I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. of the Father Yahweh. Okay? And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty Elohim. And it says, and he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. And you go to Revelation 17:14, and you can confirm that as well. It says that these shall make war. They'll know about those 10 horns on the head of that beast that represents the kingdoms of this, the evil kingdoms of this world. It says these 10 horns that represents these communist evil nations shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is a sovereign of sovereigns and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 19:19. Let's go read it. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Okay. That ends Revelation chapter 19. Let's go now and read Revelation 14:19. It says, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, the United States, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of Yahweh. What is the vine of the earth? It says, and gathered the vine of the earth. We go back to John chapter 14, and we're going to get a little insight on this vine of the earth. John the Revelator was shown. Let's go read it right quick. It says, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. This is Yahshua talking. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, Yahshua is talking here to these here Gentiles. He says, and now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. And what did Yahshua say in verse 1 who the vine was? I am the true vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. So now when you go back to John, Revelation 15, verse 19 again, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth. Okay, gathered all the ripe grapes that was on that vine, and that vine represents Yahshua, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of the Father, Yahweh. And Revelation 19:15 gives us a little bit more insight once again on that. Revelation 19:15. 15. It says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty Yahweh. So Yahshua has come to thresh and judge the nations for the Father. And that winepress means blood. That means Yahshua's blood is what's separating the wheat from the chaff. Okay. Back to Revelation 19. It says, verse 20, and the beast was taken with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with a brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. So those that were left outside of that judgment of that beast and the false prophet, they were slain with the sword that proceeded out of his mouth. In other words, he pronounced the word against them, and they were slain with the word of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Okay. With this being the close, I said this, our contest is at the 11th hour call, and if number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Till the storm passes by. In the dark of the midnight, have I often hit my face. For the storms have upset me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Yah hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise through the storm. Never darken the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright and peaceful shore. That land where the tempest never comes, Yahweh, with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds grow forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of the hand to be saved till the storm passes by.